You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 23rd, 2020. We now have a timetable from President Trump. He'd said the other day that he would announce his Supreme Court nominee this Saturday, but we didn't know what time. He is now saying that it will happen 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. He said, I'm down to a list of very fine, qualified women, and we may have some dissent. Didn't call out Republican senators, of course, Murkowski or Collins, but certainly admits there will be those two, he said. Always going to be those two against us, but otherwise we're going to move forward and we're going to get it done. It helped a great deal yesterday when Senator Mitt Romney said he was on board with naming a replacement for Ginsburg before the election and confirming. In the meantime, Ruth Bader Ginsburg now lying in repose at the Supreme Court. Kentucky Attorney General should announce the grand jury decision in the Breonna Taylor case later this afternoon, and they are preparing for violence. Louisville preparing for various degrees of violence. Some cases you have businesses boarding up, others are just shutting down and boarding up, and others are being told to stay out of the area. All of this gets back to an event that involved the death of Breonna Taylor when police were exercising a no-knock warrant when they went into the home, and according to the indictment, one officer in particular was fired for wantonly and blindly firing into the apartment, ending in her death. The options for the grand jury: decline to prosecute or charge one or more of the officers involved. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Congressman Gates of Florida said, we need to have a criminal investigation into Michael Bloomberg, a bribery investigation. Because former New York City Mayor Bloomberg is in the state of Florida saying he wants to make sure that felons are allowed to vote if they have already served their time. Well, according to state law in Florida, to complete their sentence, they also have to pay off any fines or restitution they were ordered to pay. And if he's stepping forward to pay off their credit card debt or other things so they could vote, that could be considered buying a vote. We'll see if anything happens with it. This should come as no surprise, but it's interesting at the same time. The vast majority of college faculty members in Ohio who donated to political campaigns during this year's election cycle, 92% of college faculty members gave their money to Democrats. As I said, that should be no real surprise. Couple new polls out. President Trump, according to an ABC News Washington Post poll, has a 4-point lead among likely Florida voters. A CBS News YouGov poll shows a close presidential race in Texas, but they also suggest that maybe they oversampled Democrats, so it might not be as close as they would have you believe. And, of course, as we have various cities across the nation look at defunding police departments. The Florida governor announcing a proposal that in his state, any city that defunds its police department, he said, we will cut off funding. I'm glad they're going to do that. That's one way to get things under control. And we're still waiting if there's any new word about the bomb threat at this time at the Eiffel Tower in Paris. It's been shut down and cordoned off. SWAT teams are checking it out along with the bomb crew. What a loss. This guy, Gale Sayers, legendary Chicago Bears star, Pro Football Hall of Famer, considered as one of the greatest running backs of all time, passing away at the age of 77. A statement from the Hall of Fame president said, "All of those who love the game of football mourn the loss of one of the greatest to ever play this game." And Gale Sayers passing away and apparently dealing with dementia in his closing time. You hate to think of a man that vibrant reduced to that. We mourn for him.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Well, they pick the tune out.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Senator Schumer, who has also talked about court packing, has been telling anyone who will listen that we should not fill this vacancy because it's an election year. The constitutional provisions on filling a Supreme Court vacancy are unaffected by the electoral calendar. And I want to make it clear, we're going forward. And anyone who thinks Senator Schumer would not do the same thing if the shoe were on the other foot probably also believes Jimmy Hoffa died a natural death.
Do you? Do you think Jimmy Hoffa died of a natural death? Those are the words of Senator John Kennedy, Louisiana Republican. And said, we're going to go forward. We have the White House and we have the Senate. Now, when Obama was president and in his closing months trying to fill the vacancy with the death of Justice Scalia, he started in, I think Scalia was, I want to say Feb, early that year, passing away. So there was a lot of time between then and the election itself. And the Democrat position was the president should go ahead and fill the vacancy. And, of course, the other side, Republicans, were saying, no, let's wait for a new president because Obama won't be here. The next president should do it, which I agreed with fully. And I still have the same opinion. I still think I would rather see it decided by the next president. But I also understand, and I'm not going to fight or argue against what the Republicans are doing. Just simply listening to Senator Kennedy then, as he said, if it were the shoe were on the other foot, if the Democrats controlled the White House and the Senate, they would certainly rush forward and do it. Make no doubt about that. But appearing on the Rachel Maddow show, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says we have ways, we have some options that we're going to put in play. Senator Schumer talking about what they can do.
We have tactical options to slow them down. We will use every tool in the toolkit. Now, admittedly, McConnell has changed the rules, so we have fewer tools and they're less sharp. But every tool we have, we will use. Today, we delayed committees going into effect. We had the right to do that, and we did it. Tonight, we're on the floor, taking up all the time on the floor to talk about how bad this potential nominee. And there will be many other things that we can use. You'll see them in the days ahead.
And in fact, in the last hour, in case you missed it, I had Thomas Gipping, a constitutional law expert and expert in the Supreme Court, and we were talking about the tactic that the Democrats were going to try, changing everything on the calendar to just focus on this appointment issue. He said, actually, they're just going to make it a lot easier for Republicans to move forward. He said, I guess they haven't thought that part through, but if they want to focus on only this, well, then that's where everybody's focus will be. Of course, that means for those who are waiting for some kind of additional stimulus relief, for something to happen, it's sidelined again. That's not going to make a lot of folks happy, but that is going to fall across both Republican and Democrat voters and their lives. We have had efforts. We've had some very clear efforts by the administration trying to get some money out. But the two parties can't seem to come to a conclusion on it. Now, the other thing, Senator Kennedy, John Kennedy, Louisiana Republican, says when you listen to the Democrats and they start making all of their threats, you know that they're going to pull anything and everything they possibly can.
They're saying, if you don't do what we want, we will hurt you. If you don't do what we want, we will hurt America. We will destroy the United States Supreme Court as an institution by packing the court. Shame on them. They ought to hide their head in a bag.
By packing the court, of course, they're saying that when we get back into power, if you go through with this, the threat is we will then look for ways to increase the number of Supreme Court justices. The Constitution does not specify the number of justices. There have been as few as six, but since 1869, we've had nine, including a Chief Justice. The Congress does have the power to determine how many. As I said, the numbers range from 5 to 10, but we've been stuck at nine since 1869. By packing the court, their idea is that we'll make sure we get more Democrats inside. So it won't be so narrow a decision, and we'll make sure conservative views do not control the court. But sometimes the nominees of either party are not as liberal or conservative as the party thought they would be. Generally, it's to the chagrin of the Republicans. They're the ones who end up seeing candidates that they thought would be stronger conservative suddenly tasting the liberal water and liking some of it. You don't find many of the liberals swinging the other way. But Senator Kennedy says when you think about the Democrats and a threat on packing the court, he said it tells you everything as to what they believe of the court.
They don't understand the role of the United States Supreme Court. They think justices are just politicians in robes. They think justices have the right to rewrite the Constitution every other Thursday to advance a political or a social agenda that they can't get by the voters.
And that's exactly true, because they have relied on the past for the Supreme Court to do some of that. And Justice Roberts helped them. Chief Justice Roberts helped them when it came to the Obamacare bill. And of course, we have the nominees that will be, or nominee that will be named by the president. He says at 4 o'clock Central Time this Saturday. The leading candidate appears to be Amy Coney Barrett, currently a judge. Now, she went through a confirmation hearing recently, back in 2017, to get that judicial appointment. And at that time, the biggest thing they could use against her was her religion. And Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, said the dogma lives loudly within you. In other words, naming her religion as a dogma, not really something of faith, just something that rules and controls you. And, of course, they're concerned that she would be an opponent of pro-choicers. Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat of West Virginia, is weighing in on this issue of attacking Amy Coney Barrett's faith. Senator Joe Manchin said, "I'm Catholic, and religion should not enter into this discussion and whether or not she's capable and proper to fill the seat of Justice Ginsburg. Religion should not enter into it. It sure does it with me." He said, and I'm quoting, "It's awful to bring in religion. It truly is." And he recalled what we talked about previously with JFK. Senator Manchin says, "I remember as a young boy with Kennedy running, and everyone said, the Pope's going to run the country. And I looked at my mom and said, Mom, they don't know the Catholics we know." He's speaking common sense. A Democrat saying religion should not be used as a weapon against Trump's nominee. And he adds, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Protestant, whether you're Jewish, evangelical, whatever it may be, God bless you. You worship who you want, you worship how you want, you worship the same God, all of us do. And he also said he does not support the Democrats' push to pack the courts if they get control again. He's known for reaching across the aisle and said the Senate does need return to civility and bipartisanship. But what he's battling is the tsunami of hate from the left against Trump, this president in particular, all because they don't think he should have won. It all goes back to the fact that he never should have won, and they still say he shouldn't have won. Well, we have a presidential debate coming up. And, of course, you could raise a lot of questions, a lot of issues before the death of Ginsburg as to what would be a prime consideration. Coronavirus, of course. The economy. The response to violence in our streets. Which means that Biden would have to finally acknowledge it's been taking place in the streets. But now, the nomination of a Supreme Court justice. Fox News anchor Chris Wallace is going to be the moderator of the first debate. He had listed topics yesterday, and according to him, it would cover economy, race, and violence in U.S. cities. He does not list the appointment issue, but I cannot believe that they would have a debate without him raising that question. Now, again, this debate's going to take place on September the 29th, Case Western Reserve University and Cleveland Clinic. And you're going to get a chance to see both Trump and Biden side by side. Those on the left, including Former Clinton advisor James Carville thinks that Biden's going to do just fine. He said, look at how he did in the debates with everyone else. But Carville knows, and it's a fact, that at that time, Biden had 4 to 6 others on the stage with him. All of the focus wasn't just on him for an answer. And if he got into an answer and felt that he'd kind of maybe reached the limit of his knowledge or what he could say, then he'd say, well, I don't want to take all the time. I'll give my time to someone else so I don't seem to hog all of it. It was an excuse. It was a reason to take the focus off of himself while he collected his thoughts. That's not going to happen when it's one-on-one. Trump had said the other day, well, Biden should do much better than me. He's more experienced. He has more knowledge. He's been there in the Senate and the Washington, D.C. all this time. He should be much better than me. And you could almost see that little sly smile and twinkle in his eye. It's good not to make your opponent think that you're going to walk all over him. Let him think he has something. In poker, we call it simply a bluff. But Senator Schumer says we're not done with anything we can do to stop it on that appointment. More coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I don't believe it's a fait accompli. You have a whole bunch of Republican senators who have not taken a position. When you find the nominee, you never know what's going to be in their background, that you might find something that wins people over, even who were the other way. You know, a great metaphor for this, Rachel, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Against the longest of odds, she never gave up and she kept fighting. We are going to keep fighting, and she is an inspiration to us.
Chuck Schumer on Rachel Maddow's show saying we're going to keep fighting and that he believes a lot of Republican senators will end up not liking the nominee, which might well be Judge Amy Comey Barrett, who had been through a consented confirmation hearing back in 2017 to move into a federal judgeship. But if all they've got to go against her is her religion, which is what they tried to do then, that's not going to work for them. And as far as moving forward, they should, quote, the Democrat should consider the quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself. She said, quote, there's nothing in the Constitution that says the president stops being the president in his last year. And she's thought the Senate should take up a vote when Scalia passed, and it should have been done at that time, but it was delayed until after the election. The election is more critical than before. And if you look at the polling that's coming out, you can find things you like and you can find things you don't like. There is a review, and I'd mentioned it in news and commentary, of the presidential race in Texas. CBS News, YouGov poll, and it shows apparently it oversampled Democrats by about 9%. 9%. You're not going to get a very valid poll, and yet it claims that Donald Trump leads Biden by just 2 points in Texas because of that. Well, if they oversampled it by that much, they're going to have a rude awakening. And in fact, this morning, the New York Times, the Morning Post, I always get it in my email, and the David Leonhardt, talking about how Trump can win. He said, if recent polls are perfectly accurate, Biden will win comfortably. but they may not be. He said state-by-state polls could be off, as they were in 2016. He said pollsters had tried to fix the problem, but if they haven't, you're going to have the same thing. He said it's possible Trump will still lose the popular vote, but would still win the states where he leads or trails very narrowly, just as he did in the race against Hillary. He said that if the sampling of the polls are way off, and that CBS YouGov poll that shows Biden's only 2 points behind Trump in Texas, if it's off as much as 9% on sampling, get used to saying President Trump for another 4 years. Well, of course, the loss of Hillary to Trump, the big issue then was, I won the majority, We should have, we need to get rid of the Electoral College now. And of course, the other night, Don Lemon Fruitcake of CNN said, let's just blow it up. Well, he's gotten reaction since that now he has him squirming and saying, well, I was taken out of context. I wasn't treated fairly. I love it when a liberal says they weren't treated fairly by the press. That's coming up next.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
No matter what happens, everybody sticks with
we're going to have
team.
To blow up the entire system. And you know what we're going to have to do?
No, I don't know.
You know what we're going to what you have to do?
You just got to vote.
Honestly, from what your closing argument is, you're going to have to get rid of the Electoral College. Because the people...
I don't see it.
Because the minority in this country decides who the judges are and they decide who the president is.
You need a constitutional amendment to do that.
And if Joe Biden wins, Democrats can sack the courts... And they can do that amendment, and they can get it passed.
Well, you need two-thirds vote in the Congress and three-quarters of the state legislature.
They may be able to do that.
Maybe.
That was Don Lemon Fruitcake, along with his anchor friend, Chris Cuomo, who is, of course, the brother of Governor Cuomo of New York, doing their little exchange and handoff as Chris Cuomo wraps his program and brings in Don Lemon to preview what's going to happen next. That was Don Lemon Fruitcake then talking about that what we need to do is, no matter what happens, we just need to blow it all up. Blow up the entire system. That's his exact quote. Blow up the entire system. And then he said, and we're going to have to get rid of the Electoral College. Now, when the reports started surfacing and the story was played several places about Don Lemon, Fruitcake of CNN, saying we need to blow up the entire system and get rid of the Electoral College, he started crying out, I was taken out of context. That wasn't fair. And I absolutely love it when a liberal suddenly feels that they're not being treated properly by the mainstream media, the press, or even the conservative press. You got to at least treat me fairly and put things in context, as if they know what is context. How many times do they take a story, take it entirely out of context, and drop it in your lap, and that's all the information they're going to give you, and if you want any more, you're going to have to dig for it. Otherwise, you have to accept what they said as gospel. I don't think this audience does that, but there are those who do. But listen to Lemon once he realized how his remarks were coming back to haunt him, and he's choosing selective words to try to build his case. But again, it all comes down to, I got taken out of context.
I woke up and I saw all these headlines like, Don Lemon is calling for the abolishing the Electoral College.
Blow it all up,
you said. I was responding to you when you said we want people with integrity.
I wasn't even there.
No, but let me tell you, I don't care, but I was responding to you when you said we want people with integrity in office. And I said, well, then we're going to have to blow up the whole system, right?
Yep.
But and I said, man, here's what Democrats can do.
Right.
And I said, that's the danger. They can, like, stack the court. But all of a sudden, I am calling for the abolishing of the Electoral College. And what else did they say? Oh, and that I'm a Democrat because I said we. I mean, the American people.
Right. Do you have any doubt that he's not a Democrat? I mean, do you think he's a Trump supporter? Do you think he's even independent? Surely you don't. He is liberal through and through. He's a Democrat. And he used the phrase, we're going to have to blow up the entire system, putting himself with others who want to do it, such as Hillary Clinton and others who said, we need to get rid of the Electoral College. Because they don't want the vast majority of the nation to have a say in the election, where you have areas that are locked down hard blue and major urban areas that they would end up ruling everything because you take away the electoral vote possibilities for other sparsely populated states. But again, he insists that I was taken out of context. Let's hear part of it again. Just listen to what he did say the other night.
No matter what happens, everybody sticks.
We're
going
to have to blow up the entire system, and you know what we're going to have to do?
No, I don't know.
You know what we're going to? Yes, yeah. What you're going to have to do?
You just got to.
Honestly, from what your closing argument is, you're going to have to get rid of the Electoral College because the people.
I don't see it.
Because the minority in this country decides who the judges are and they decide who the president is.
But how many times did you hear him say again? You know what we're going to have to do? I want to hear just the opening part of that again, Quentin, because. Right there, you know he's talking about we Democrats, as if then he's trying to say, and now people are calling me a Democrat? Just listen to the beginning part again, please.
No matter what happens, everybody sticks.
We're
going
to have to blow up the entire system. And you know what we're going to have to do?
No, I don't know.
You know what we're going to? Yes.
Yeah. We're going to have to blow up the entire system. So here's Don Lemon again insisting, I got taken out of context. It's his own words. His own words being used against him. And then it kind of became an issue that they're trying to joke their way out of it. And what Cuomo says, if this had been said to Don Lemon, if he were appearing with somewhere and someone had said what Cuomo said, I don't think there'd been any laughter. I think Don Lemon would have been in his face and say, how dare you suggest what you just did? But they want to laugh it off, try to, you know, let's just kind of move past this issue, forget the entire thing, and find a joke in here and play with a joke.
I do think that we need to look at the Electoral College because I think that it disenfranchises voters, both Democrats and Republicans. If you're in a blue state and all of the electoral votes go to the Democratic person, then the Republicans' votes aren't counted. the people who voted for the Republican candidate. So I do think it should be looked at because I think it does disenfranchise certain people. Should it be abolished? That's not for me to say. I'm saying this is what Democrats are saying. Stack the courts. Get rid of the Electoral College. But there is no nuance and no context anymore. So who really cares?
Yeah, right. Right. No nonsense. No context. Who really cares? Well, of course, CNN never cares about context. All right, as I said, they continued to try to make a joke.
A black guy can't say that he wants to blow anything up right now. I mean,
what is wrong with you?
People are waiting for you to come and destroy their houses.
Oh, my gosh.
With people like me, your kooky white friends.
I know. It's crazy, right?
So you can't say you want to blow stuff up because you're playing into the narrative.
See, you can say that. You can say that. Whoa. You can say that, but I can't. See, I would get in trouble because then, you know, Don Lemon is joking about violence. And
you have to. We have to mock it. We have to mock the intention to demonize people. You have to mock it. Because if you go at it straight, you give it too much dignity.
Yeah, but I usually don't give it oxygen. I usually don't respond, but I thought this one was, the context was so egregious. And they take the soundbite, like just a little part that we say, and not the context of the entire conversation.
As CNN often does. And he knows they do. You don't have the moral, ethical, journalistic background to stand on, Don Lemon, to say that you guys don't take things out of context. And when I hear them both saying we need to mock all the claims of violence and so forth, folks aren't laughing with the violence that's been taking place. But you go ahead and have that attitude, because the Democrats don't even want to acknowledge there's violence in the streets. It's all a myth. You want proof? You want exact, specific proof? Look to the Democrat National Convention. The four nights they were holding their Democrat National Convention, there was violence, arson, attacks on law enforcement, Portland, Seattle, and other cities, and not one word from the Democrat political action committees, nor at the convention, nor not one single candidate, not a single word. I guess if they had brought it up, then their next play would be to mock it and laugh at it. It's all fun and games till someone gets stuck in the eye with a stick. All fun and games as long as it's on them and not us. And they, I believe, every day are growing more and more concerned they're not going to win this election. I want to believe that, but I don't want you to take it as a final ruling. I want to make sure you vote, you get your friends and neighbors to vote. I'm watching, something, maybe it's on Prime, Amazon Prime. It may have been another outlet like that the other night. There's a big thing about protect the vote. The people who try to keep you from voting, protect the vote, do it. I don't know of anyone trying to prevent someone from voting. I don't. I do know of those who are trying to encourage folks to vote who should not be allowed to vote. And they're going to do their best to continue to do that. And the importance of having a Supreme Court fully stacked with 9 members, as even Ginsburg said it should be, echoed by Senator Cruz the other day, we could face a constitutional crisis if the election's not decided on that date. It might go to the Supreme Court, as we did with Gore Bush. You cannot have a 4-4 split on that issue. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a guy convicted of killing a cop being set free. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Dateline, New York City, 1971. Police get a 911 call. And two officers dispatched to find out what the issue is. It's a bogus 911 call. They're being lured into an ambush. Three men, later identifying themselves as members of the Black Revolutionary Army, had set up an ambush to call the police into a Harlem housing project and then kill them, assassinate them in cold blood. All three convicted of killing the officers. One of the three died in prison of liver cancer in 2000. In 2018, one of them, convicted of killing police officers, freed on parole. And now the third is being freed on parole. He has spent more than 43 years in prison for the assassination of those two officers. I'm sure the man he is today, well, I should probably correct that. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Let me put it that way. The grown man he is today is not the same person he was 43 years ago. But that doesn't bring back the two officers who have missed their lives and their families and what they could have been doing in the last 43 years. They were convicted. There was no question about it. They were convicted. They assassinated the officers in cold blood. And how they originally let one go on parole back in 2018, I don't know. I don't have the details in front of me. But I do know that this last one is now going to be freed on parole come October. Police Benevolent Association says Governor Cuomo and our state legislature have spent years torturing crime victims, especially the hero families of fallen police officers. They knew that changing parole guidelines would release more vicious killers like this guy back onto our streets. I don't know if he will be a vicious killer moving forward. And if I'd had my way, all three would have been executed. We wouldn't have that decision, that question right now. If they were gaining up, setting up an ambush to kill officers as they arrived. We'll see what he makes of his life. But I can't stop thinking about the life or lives of the two officers and what they might have been doing with their lives. And the widow of one of them is obviously infuriated, saying, "We're angry. We thought they would not do it. But they did." All right, let me give you something a little bit lighter here. In Cincinnati, a University of Cincinnati professor is on administrative leave because he referred to the coronavirus as the Chinese virus in an email to a student. The student said that I'm going to get a zero because the school health department told me I can't attend a lab because my girlfriend tested positive for the new coronavirus. And so my professor, since I cannot attend in person, he's going to give me a zero for not going. And I questioned him and he sent this email back saying, "For students testing positive for the Chinese virus, I will give no grade." Well, I don't see that he was going to give him a zero. I says he's going to give him no grade because it's probably incomplete. But that's not why the professor is being dealt with. It's because he used the term Chinese virus. As Trump has said, it is the China virus because it came from China. But the university president jumping in with all the others who want to be politically correct. The dean of College in Engineering and Applied Sciences, "We refer this matter to review for the Office of Equal Opportunity. these types of xenophobic comments around location or ethnicity are more than troubling. We can better protect and care for us when we speak about COVID-19 with accuracy and empathy. What does that have to do with calling it the Chinese virus? It's accurate. You're not laying it on those people. You're laying it on a geographic location. But again, the university president jumping in on this, saying there's no place for bigotry in our community or any other. Greatness starts with inclusion, and inclusion starts with each of us. Well, if you're really going to be inclusive, you don't fire the professor or place him on leave. He should be allowed to say that because he's right factually. You just don't like it because you think it's in reference to ethnicity, not geographic location. And you're an institute of higher learning? Really? It's the Chinese virus because it came from China. All right, as always, I appreciate you listening and joining. I know many of you are letting your friends and family know, and you can tell them we'll be back on the air tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.